Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes with each other. Hi, Nicole. I wasn't able to log on. I have to go to another computer because for some reason when I went to log on, Blog Talk, it said it kind of put me in a site that said there's a virus. Now it said I logged in from Russia. So I have to switch.
Lord.
I mean, isn't that fun? And it kept blowing me off the site. So when I ran to find a card with a call-in number, you know, just so fun life, isn't it? When you're
I love it when things work.
Right. And it just, and then when I kept coming back in, it wouldn't recognize who I was or anything like that. So it kind of was a little bit of insanity going on here. So I like you have logged in from Russia. Oh, that's exciting. That's good news here. You know what I mean? And it kept blowing me off the site. So, you know, I don't know if it's something that, you know, when you type in the Blog Talk address or for some reason, if it just, I don't know what that did, but. It wasn't fun. So now I'm in another computer.
Can't imagine it.
You know, now you know why people have to have more than one computer, by the way. Because,
sure.
You know, otherwise these are the little disasters of life, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Always so fun. So how's my girl doing today?
Today I'm a little bit tired. I had a late call last night. So instead of doing my normal 5 a.m. to like 4 p.m., I got to do a very, very lovely 5 p.m. to 3 a.m.
So, wow.
It was a very long day. They had a night shoot, so I had to go and, you know, and oversee everything in the very, very cold, rainy weather that we were having in Queens over by Silver Cup Studios. So, yeah. But I didn't really sleep much tonight. In the day, I'm not one of these people that can really, like, take full-on naps when I know the sun is up. Like, once the sun starts going down, I have no problem falling asleep. But, like, if the sun is up, forget it. I'm awake. You know, I need absolute, like, pitch black. So I did try to take a nap in the afternoon, but it was not, it wasn't really working for me. And then, you know, I had woken up early with Lisa to get her out the door. You know, because, you know, when Lisa leaves, I make her breakfast and her lunch and her snacks and all that stuff. So I was pretty much, and then, of course, my cat, my lovely little boy that I have to remind myself sometimes how much I love him. he's been getting up at 2:30 in the morning and wanting to play and wanting to eat and wanting to tell me that his litter box is dirty. And he's been very, very vocal at 2:30 in the morning. So I was up at 2:30, and then I finally got him back down at about 4, and then I got up again with Lisa around 7, got her out the door by 8, and then I basically just stayed up until I went into work. You know, I left for work at about 3 o'clock, and then, you know, I didn't get home until about 3 o'clock. It was a very long day. And then today I was up early again. So I'm a little bit exhausted today, but I do have the day off tomorrow. So I'm going to be sleeping in as much as humanly possible tomorrow.
Okay, well, that's good. And
yeah.
How is your wife doing with her new job?
Lisa is actually, she's really, really liking it. You know, like, she's a little bit, hesitant because it's something new, and my wife doesn't really deal. My wife loves change, but she hates it at the same time, you know. So she's a little bit, you know, like, oh, my God, it's going to be a lot, and oh, my God, this, and oh, my God, that. But, you know, she saves the worry for home, and then she goes in and she just knocks it out of the park. So her and one of the new owners have been cranking out a whole bunch of new stuff for the members this week, and a special event on Saturday already. And, that's going off to a very, very nice start. It's headed off to a very nice start, I should say. Yep.
Wow. So everything all in all is okay with you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
And, you know, is there anything you want Spirit to bring you besides more sleep?
money. I would really, really like Spirit to get on the ball, and either I need to be selling more out of my store, I need to be working more at the union, but doing a little bit of both is really panning out so well. So I need a little bit more consistency there. I've always said that, you know, I would like some just consistency. I like to pay my bills without worry, and, you know, and that's it. So, but, you know, my work schedule has been very, very erratic, which is leading my other business to be very, very erratic. So, it's everything is happening. It's just happening slowly, but that's okay. Good things come to those who wait, you know. And I'm already doing, for Lisa's new company, I'm already doing a couple of designs for them. And, you know, that should prove to be some nice reoccurring income every time they place an order. So that's good. But I'd like to get some more of my personal stuff out there and not have to sweat this union so much, because this union is just going to hell. I feel sorry for all of you people on your TV if you guys are avid television watchers, because it doesn't look like it's getting any better from where I'm sitting.
Well, you know, it's funny because there really is nothing on television.
Yeah, it's
because
not everybody's back at work yet. That's the whole thing. You know, it's just not everybody is working yet. The Teamsters are negotiating now, and, you know, for those people who don't know, you know, how things like this work, you know, everything is union. So the Teamsters are the guys that drive the trucks, you know, and then before that it was the actors, and then before that it was the writers, you know, and, coming up more towards the summertime, it's going to be the set dressers again, you know, and like there's, you know, and there's the Scenics union that get tied in with the set dressers. So everybody is unionized and everybody wants more pieces of the pie, but nobody wants to give up their share, basically, you know. So now that the actors got what they want, now everyone else is saying, well, listen, these guys didn't deserve raises and they got one. So now what about us who actually make things happen and get shit on the most? You know, so that's what's going on right now. So a lot of the productions, and the reason why I'm not fully back at work yet is because a lot of the productions, they're not going back full force yet. And they don't want to go back full force, because if the Teamsters decide to strike, then they just put all of that work into a season that's not going to happen. So everybody's kind of dragging their feet to see what's what. So, yeah, it's very, very difficult right now. You know, a lot of people are treading water. I know a lot of people in the union that, you know, they're being forced into retirement. You know, they're not ready to retire. They're obviously living in and working in New York. But, you know, they're like, you know, something's got to give. Either I need to go back to work full time or I need to leave New York. Like, I'm not, you know, they're not making it anymore, which really, really sucks if you think about it, because they've been in this business. You know, some of the people that I know that are thinking about retiring, they've been in this business for, you know, 30, 40 years, some of them. And, you know, they had a couple years left before they wanted to retire, and now they're being forced to do it, you know, because people don't want to share, you know. I mean, you got production companies that are making, you know, millions upon millions upon millions upon millions, and, you know, they're willing to give it to the most high-profile people, but the people that are doing the grunt work are the people that get the most forgotten, you know, and they make things happen. So we'll see what happens with everything. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that everything gets, you know, achieves some sense of normalcy sooner than later.
Wow. Well, you know, it's hard because I think everyone is noticing that it's not quite television's not quite what it used to be.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hopefully this will bring upon, you know, this will bring kind of like a cleanse upon us, because there were so many reality shows that just sucked, you know, and there was, you know, or mildly scripted shows that just sucked. And they were sucking the life out of television, and there just wasn't a lot of very good writing. Like, I get that the writers wanted their just due, and they deserved it. But you know, there was also a lot of mediocre shit out there, and you know, hopefully now with the break and with everybody getting a little bit of what they want, you know, hopefully we'll get some better content and people will be happy. You know, in the long run, it just sucks in the short term.
Wow. So, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, you're sharing this with us, because people are probably wondering, what's happening there, you know?
Yes.
what's happening?
The inside scoop.
The inside scoop. That's what we want. So we do have a number of, you know, callers tonight. So, you know, maybe you could... tell us what we need to do. If anybody wants to talk to us, you do have to do something.
Of course. So, the people that generally call in already know this, but for those of you who do not regularly call in, if you would like to speak to myself or Cindy this evening, please make sure that you press the number 1. This way I get that lovely little alert that tells me that you would like to be screened and that you would like to be on the air this evening. So as usual, I never, ever screen the first call. And we're going to go out to the person that has been waiting the longest, Cindy, unless somebody has emailed you a phone number to pick up first today.
I think Stacy wanted to, but I don't think she emailed me her number.
Okay. I do see that Jennifer has called and has pressed number 1, and that's the only number that I recognize in the queue right now. So what we'll do is we will shoot out to Jennifer first, and I will pop into the chat room and screen some of these numbers that we don't know. How's that sound?
Right. Exactly.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. So here we go out to Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer. You are on the air.
Hello, ladies. Happy spring.
Well, thank you. It's a little chilly here. Is it chilly in Canada?
Yes, that stupid groundhog said it would be an early spring. What a liar.
Right. Well, we did have early, then it just decided to get cold today, you know, for whatever reason that was, you know, for whatever reason. So, so tell me what's going on in your world.
Well, it's very strange. My boyfriend called me today. So we've been dating for 4 years. He called me. He says, do you want to have this discussion on the phone or do you want to have it this weekend? I'm like, I don't know. You decide. You know, I don't know what the discussion is. But he says, you know, I want to marry you, but business hasn't been so good, you know, lately, and I want a business to be better before I make any commitments. Is that normal?
Well, it's normal for men because they have this thing in their evolutionary collective unconscious brain, whereas they don't want to commit to a woman if they can't afford her, even if you're not asking them to support you. So it's normal for men, you know, so I think that's what's going on. Now, what did you want to say to him about this?
Well, here's what I said to him because I am intuitive and I have eyes, and I know that there's been business issues going on, but anytime I had asked him about it, he'd say things were fine. And I said, when I ask you and you say things are fine and they're not, that's not good communication.
Right. It's not. At all.
So he did apologize, but, you know, I said, you're forgiven. But.
So what is it that you want? Hello,
are you
there? I mean, that's a big silence here on a radio. That's scary. Okay.
Well, you know, no, I could hear Nicole in the background, so I'm like, oh, is Nicole talking?
Oh, so what would you have wanted him to say besides what he said?
No, actually, it was fine. What I would have liked, and this is women, right? I would like to go back in the past and have him admit that business wasn't going so well.
Right. Okay.
So,
I wonder if Nicole has anything to say about this because, you know, do you want to get married? Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just popping in. What's the question?
Okay. Why don't you explain to Nicole a little bit, you know, like what happened, and because Nicole's really good at this kind of thing.
Do I have to get some stuff?
Okay. So my boyfriend called me up today to tell me that the reason that he wants to marry me, but the reason that he hasn't, you know, asked and we haven't gone through with it is because he's been having, you know, business hasn't been as good as it's been in previous years, and he wants things to get better before he does that. And it bothered me, not that he does, you know, that he wants to wait until business is better, but that every time I asked him about, you know, financial issues, he would say things were fine. That's the part that bothered me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it.
And
that's
we're
like
not sure. I'm not sure of what the question is. Are you, Nicole?
No.
Okay. I thought it was just me. That's why I said.
No. I said, I asked if it was normal, and you said, yes, that's what men
it's
do.
It's normal for men because they have to feel like they have to support a woman. Like, if they can't feel like they can support her, in the evolutionary part of a man's brain, he won't commit to a woman. So that's the problem. So that's evolutionary. So, but you want him to marry you regardless?
Regardless of the financial situation, yes.
Right.
Well, what have you said with regard to that?
Oh, well, if he wants to wait, I don't care. I'm in no rush. That preference would be to have more money or be more financially stable prior to that. But it does explain a lot. But, okay, so I said, you know, I'd like to live with you, but I can't live in your place. Not that I'm, like, high on the hog, but it's just a one-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment. So
mm-hmm.
It would have to have at least two. I said it's got to have at least two bathrooms, like one and a half even. Just like I get stressed out if someone's waiting for the bathroom and I'm in it. So, but instead of saying, you know, right now is not a good time to look, he just went along and looked with me. So it sort of makes me, I don't know, I prefer a little bit more honesty in a relationship. So I guess what I'm asking, and this is more of a psychic question, is his financial situation going to get better, or is it worse than maybe I think it is?
Yeah, it looks a little bit like not great. Okay, so if you marry him, you realize that financial situation is yours.
Yeah.
Because marriage is like a business partnership, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, so I wouldn't marry someone unless I had more transparency about the true finances here. Anyway, I think he's trying to save you from that a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's a little bit more of a mess than you think.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't think he's lying to you about it.
I agree with Cindy on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so remember, marriage is a business arrangement
as a
love affair. And I know Canada, one of my clients said Canada is different from the United States. Like, if you live with someone, it's like after a while, it's like you're married. You have common law marriage in Canada, by the way.
Yes, after a year.
Right, so even just living with someone, that's really dicey too in Canada. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would think that he's really, his way of saying his finances are a mess right now.
Yeah, but why did he have to wait so long? Like, has it been a mess for a long time, or is it, he just realized that
he's not?
Well, yeah, you're
asking the wrong person. You're asking a psychic instead of him.
Right.
You need to have an open and honest conversation with him, and you have to say, hey, listen, you know what? Because, I mean, like the vibe that I'm getting right now is, like, is a couple of different things. The first thing that I'm getting here is, okay, fine. You know, I mean, for a lot of atypical men, they want to be the providers. They want some financial stability before they enter into a marriage. And if this is, you know, if this is his first marriage, he's going to want to do it right. And if it's his second marriage, he's going to want to do it better than the first. So there is going to be a little bit of added pressure for him to be a little bit more financially stable. But the question really, really lies is, number one, are the finances really that much of a mess? And was he too embarrassed to tell you? Two, is he using the finances as an excuse because he doesn't want to say he's not ready for marriage? It could be either or at this point. You know, so, I mean, because here's the thing, like, money is like a roller coaster these days. You know, I mean, you know, 6 months ago, Lisa and I were really, really high. And, you know, now here we are 6 months later, we're really, really low. But guess what? We looked at the projections and in 3 months, you know, we're going to be really, really high again. And that's okay. And that's the way that's the way that things are right now. It's just the state of the world. You know, you're going to have highs and lows. There's always going to be a reason, you know, why you can or cannot do something, you know, but is he using it as a crutch and as an excuse because maybe he just doesn't want to take that next step yet. And he figures the money aspect is the easiest way to deflect that. Or is he just embarrassed? You know, it could be one of those two things. Those are the two things. I mean, it could be more than that, but those are the two vibes that I'm picking up. You know, and I think you need to ask him. You need to really, really have an open and honest conversation. Like, listen, I'm not going to rush you, but I need to know, like, what the hell's going on here? Because you're telling me on one hand that it's fine, and now you're saying, oh, no, it's not fine. So which is it? Is it fine? Is it not fine? If it's not fine, why don't you let me try to help you? You know, I mean, or is there something else?
Okay, that's good. That gives me absolutely gives me a starting point. Thank you.
Right. And I mean, be honest, you know, make sure you give him the space to be honest too, you know, like be overly judgmental here, but that's what I hear. I think, you know,
and also remember too, that, you know, like when you're asking for honesty and like some people that they do this by accident. So just be aware of it. But, you know, like sometimes when you ask for honesty, when you start hearing things that maybe you weren't prepared to hear, you didn't want to hear, you start getting a little bit judgy. And then it kind of dissuades the person from continuing to be honest with you. You know, so just make sure that, you know, that even if you're hearing something that you don't like, that you're still saying, okay, well, listen, I don't have to like this, but I respect the fact that you're telling me, and take that kind of stance with it. Because if you start getting too judgy, you're going to make them regret being honest with you in the first place. And that's just going to push a deeper wedge in between you. And it's not going to be beneficial to you. It's not going to be beneficial to your relationship.
No, not at all. You know, so, you know, I think I was so glad that, you know, Nicole chimed in a little bit in this one, because it just seemed like, you know, I don't think he's trying to be deceptive. I mean, he's trying to be honest, but I think he's also trying not to let you know, you know, how bad things might be, you know, financially. So, you know, check it out, see what happens, let us know what he says. And Nicole, I love the way you said, these are things you shouldn't be asking a psychic. You should be asking the person or finding out, which I, you know, and it's 1,000% accurate, because Spirit tells me, don't be asking psychic things that scientifically or, you know, on the earth plane, you could find out the answer. You know, find out the answer on the earth plane, please. You know, that's not what Spirit's for. You know, it's like
Nicole said, though, he may be a little embarrassed about it, which I didn't consider. So
oh, yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember, like, yeah, I know that right now, you know, we seem to be really blending a lot of gender lines, you know, just socially in today's day and age. But it doesn't mean that you know, the true gender roles, you know, aren't still alive in some people, you know. And it sounds to me that if money is really that big of a thing for him, you know, I mean, that to me sounds like it's, you know, the more of like the typical man, typical provider, typical, you know, caretaker, you know, in that financial sense, you know, where, you know, where it could be, you know, a shot to his manhood that he's not better off than he is, or that he's not able to take care of you the way that he would like to take care of you. You know, so that could definitely be, you know, something that is taxing for him. You know, so that's why I say that, you know, you might hear some things that you don't like, but at the same time, just make sure that you're not getting judgy, you know, about it, even if you don't like it, just because, you know, it'll probably take a lot for him. If the embarrassment aspect of it is true, then, you know, he's probably, you know, it'll probably take a lot for him to come clean about that. And if he comes clean, you don't want to make him regret coming clean. You know, you want him to feel that speaking with you that openly is just further putting him into a safer space, and that it's not damaging anything by doing so.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, I'm glad you called in, because I don't think you're the only one with a question like that one.
thank you. I'll call back.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of people. Well, thank you, Nicole. And we're going to try to get another caller tonight and see what everybody else has on their mind today. And good luck.
All right.
Good
and
luck
Jennifer's
to you.
Yeah, she's already.
Now, it's interesting because I didn't know that Canada was such. You live with someone for a year, it's like you're married. Did you know that? My client told me that.
For a while there, it was like 8 or 10 years, but 1 year, that's a lot.
Right. So if you move in with someone
that's a short period of time.
Isn't it? It's really very short.
I wouldn't want to live in Canada.
No, me neither. Not with that. So, you know, because I was suggesting to this man, he wasn't sure if he wanted to marry a woman. It was a similar thing like this about her finances, perhaps. So I said, well, then, you know, you don't have to marry or live with her. He said, not in Canada. You do that, and you're married after a short period of time.
Taking half your shit.
Yeah, I was shocked by that. You know, we don't have, you know, common law marriage in New York, and in most states it's more like 10 years. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was interesting. Yeah, you learn something every day, don't you? You know, so.
And I mean, well, didn't New York for a while have common law marriage or no?
What was that? You broke up.
For some reason, I thought that New York did have common law marriage. Or I just
no, not anymore.
It was much
no,
longer than
no more.
A year.
Hasn't been anymore for a long time.
Ah, there we go. Okay, cool.
Okay,
very cool. Learn
so
something new every day.
You know, so we do have Kayla, and you said she's from Pennsylvania.
Yes, and Kayla is a first-time caller. So I did not ask Kayla how she fell upon our show, so I'll leave that up to you, Cindy. And basically, she has been in a relationship for 10 years, and she would just like a general relationship reading from you. So she just kind of wants a little sneak peek as to whether or not this 10-year relationship is going to grow, hopefully, into another 10. So here we go, out to our first-time caller.
And what's interesting
Kayla.
About the 10 years, Nicole? What's interesting about that? How many five-year cycles is that?
Yeah, that's part of our cycle of a relationship, yeah.
Right. So it's a good question. You know, people tend to come for readings or ask for things at the five-year mark, 10-year, 15, 20.
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of interesting that she's first-time caller and she's calling in now.
Yep. So here we go, Miss Kayla out in Pennsylvania. Hello, Miss Kayla.
Okie dokie.
You're on the air.
How are you?
Good. We're fine. So this is a 10-year. Yeah, do you live with this person? Are you married? Is it a dating? What kind of relationship is it?
We're not married, but we do live together.
Okay. And
thank
are you
God
in the common
law? Thank God you don't live in Canada.
It's not Canada. You know.
No, thank goodness.
Thank goodness. That's a little scary, isn't it? You know, because I wouldn't have thought of that at all. Not in this day and age that would be the case.
How do you really know somebody after a year? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
And then it would mean you'd have to, at the 11-month, if you're not sure, kick them out for a while, I guess, and then have them come back in. You must have to do something like that. Now, with you, you have actually a very good 5-year period opening up, by the way, called the world. Pretty much anything you want is yours. It looks like there's a few things that you might have to work on in this relationship. Are you trying to work on it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, because, I would like to see a little smoother sailing cards than I'm seeing here. Do you say what you mean what you say without being mean about it?
Yes.
And kind of do righteous anger, I love you, but you're doing ABCD. You know, there's some things you need to work on.
Correct.
Don't see that this person ever wants to leave you. I think this person wants to spend their life with you. I'm not sure you would spend your life with them completely if certain things don't change. So have you let this person know what you need?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how's it going so far?
It's been a little bit rocky so far.
Yeah. I mean, that's the cards that I'm seeing here. There's a card where a person doesn't always play fair with you card. And that's what I got on this person. And again, I also got that this person wants to spend their life with you across from that card. So that's the little crazy contradiction in your relationship. This person doesn't want you to leave, wants to spend, your life with you. And yet, the few things you're asking this person to do, sometimes they don't want to do it, which makes no sense to me. Like, if you don't want a person to leave you, why won't you change or do the things that the person's asking? You're not asking.
Right, and I'm not asking for a lot.
Like I said, I could see that. You're not asking drill your teeth without anesthesia every day for me. It doesn't look like, the cards are very clear that you don't ask for a lot. You're a pretty easygoing person. And yet this person kind of yeses you to death a lot. Like, yeah, sure. Or they start to do it. And then 2 months later, they're back to the same bullshit and you got to start over again,
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to change. Part of it is, you've not called into our show before and, brain chemistry gets pretty solid as people get 25 and over. There's a little flexibility between 25 and 33. As people get older than that, it gets harder and harder to change these traits because it's just brain chemistry. But I see this person, and in a scale of 1 to 10, this person's not a 10 unfixable, okay? There are 10 unfixables. They're like Hitlers, okay? Maybe this person's a 3 unfixable. They manipulate a bit. They're judgmental. They're not always accountable. And if they have certain more good traits going on there, you can kind of deal with that, okay? But, financially, we were just talking with Jennifer, sometimes things, people are guilty of what we call fiscal infidelity, not good with money, not making money. Some of those can be deal breakers. What is it, the issue that's the main problem with you and this person?
He just never really listens to what I say or things like that. I feel sometimes I'm an idiot sometimes. I don't know what I'm talking about. So that's just frustrating after a while.
Right. And that's what does show here. You know what I mean? That's why I will always hesitate to ever throw anybody under a bus. It's not nice to do. But I think you can't change him deep inside. I think he's too old to change him deep inside his mind. I have an expression, I can't censor your mind, but I can censor your mouth. Okay, you could think it, but don't necessarily say it, okay? But
correct.
With him, I think if he would just say calmly the facts, I love you, but when you say this to me and discount what I'm saying and don't hear me, it makes me feel unloved or unhappy, of stating it calmly and, react differently. We can't change people if we keep doing the same things. So if he's really discounting you or, being annoying, you could say, well, look, this isn't working well right now. I'm going to go out for a walk or a ride, and I'll be back in a little while, and we'll discuss it. Almost like you not engaging in this or doing what your usual behavior is can change the behavior, because they don't want you to leave, or they don't want whatever consequences are getting from this behavior. So they change the behavior, which is all you really care about, you know, not necessarily, you know, maybe you can't change him deep inside, but,
right.
You know, because he doesn't look like, he's not a bad person, okay? That's not what I'm saying. He's not a bad person here. But, you know, people often relive their parents' marriages, which is not good news for a lot of people. And they sometimes fall into the patterns of behaviors they learned in their dysfunctional family. And they bring
the same way. So I get that.
So, I mean, you know, we become what we judge. I'm sure he probably, you know, sometimes we judge our father or our mother, and then later on we become them, because that's God's way of saying, okay, you could see how life can put you down that path. Now I want it to turn your life around and be something different. And forgive your parents, the people, but not their actions. He's doing what's called running an old tape in transactional analysis. He's just responding the way his family responds. Okay? And in some ways, you're responding probably, you know, in a marriage, it's not, or in a relationship where you're living with someone, it's not just you and him. There's his parents, there's your parents, if there's step-parents, it gets more complicated. If there's past relationships, they're in there. There's a lot of, you know, patterns that we duplicate. If I were you, I would step back a little bit for the next month or so and just pay attention and maybe even record the conversation so you could listen later and see that it's just, he's almost like running an old tape. He's saying the same stuff over and over again. You're responding the same way. And there's only about 12 to 20 fights any couple can have. And sometimes we run in fights that our parents had. And you know that happens when you go from A to Z and you don't even know how you got to Z. You don't even remember what started this. So it's seeing the patterns, and you have to respond differently to him, calmly. Don't cry. Don't have a hissy fit. Don't act so offended. Just the facts. You know, when you said that was hurtful. You know, and just change the drama there. Because oftentimes the payoff is people like drama. You know, people mistake drama for passion. You know, if they're depressed, sometimes they want to fight because you can't be depressed and angry at the same time. So these are a lot of things that, you know, might be going on between the two of you. Again, he doesn't want you to leave him, except on the third shuffle of cards, if this continues another 5 years, because every 5 years God says fix it or leave it. And, you know, you're at the, you know, 10-year mark, you know, fix this or leave it. If this continues and you continue with the same exact pattern for another 5 years, God usually kicks us in the ass and somehow gives us a wake-up call that either ends it or we have to fix this, but we have to do something. So you can't coast forever like this. And I think that's why you called in today. You're starting to sense, I don't want to do this forever the way it is.
Yeah.
It's getting annoying.
Yeah, very much.
You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, we are reliving our parents' marriage too, or things like that. And then we say, I don't want to keep doing this. But you have to try to observe the pattern of what he's doing. Mostly I see he discounts what you say. It's like he doesn't really hear it. And, you know, or if he does, he says, okay, I'll change. And then he doesn't really change.
Right. Yes. That's basically what it comes down to pretty much.
And that gets really frustrating. And, you know, we have to pick and choose our battles, but you can't continue and feel like someone's not validating what you're saying or they're not listening. That's, you know, after a while what happens is someone has an affair or something happens, you'll get, you know, someone will come along and talk to you like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And all of a sudden, you know, and it's not something you meant to happen, but if he hasn't listened to you or had a conversation with you, and after a while, people don't know the people they're living with. You know, there's an, you know, expression, less than strangers at that point. You know, you could have a more open conversation with a complete stranger that you met than you're having with him.
Yeah.
And that makes people drift further and further away. And if this goes on another 5 years, when you hit the 15-year mark, it's almost not fixable at that point. You can't, like, turn the ship around. It's too hard. You've grown apart. He doesn't know who you are anymore, and you're not the same person, and, you know, all of that. So right now, you know, you're going to say, you know, calmly, tell him what you need, and evaluate, you know, do you fall into the same pattern of behavior when he does this? Do you sulk? Do you cry? Do you yell? What's your usual modus operandi? You cry?
Well, lately it's been crying because I've just been so exhausted and overwhelmed. So, yeah.
Right. And now that's what I need you not to do. Okay? I need you to try to just stick with the facts and say to him, you know, what you just said was very hurtful, or the fact that you didn't listen was very hurtful. And I'm going to, you know, go up to my room, or I'm going to go up to him and I'll, you know, I'll talk later because I don't want to fight, but this is hurtful. You know?
Okay.
Because sometimes when we cry, it's like, I don't know, sometimes if people saw their mom cry or their sisters cry, sometimes, you know, if they don't respond appropriately to it or it pushes a button. People have crazy family buttons, okay? And maybe crying triggers one of his crazy family buttons and he just shuts down. Do you know what I mean? So, and that becomes a problem then because he's really living in the past. He's living in his childhood. But he's almost making you relive some of the fights his parents had or making you become his mother. People push us to see, like, why did my mom take so much crap? So sometimes it'll just push you to see why. Or, you know, it just becomes the dynamics of the past. And that's why it's almost hard to fix unless you kind of step aside and observe your interaction with him, like, as if it's someone else's argument.
Okay.
And start seeing a pattern of it. And then you might examine, you know, why am I letting him upset me so much? Or why aren't I behaving, you know, which one of my parents made me feel discounted or not loved? Because these things become, people don't really heal unless they have intimate relationships, by the way. It forces us to face patterns. You know, if you live by yourself your whole life, you don't really have to heal much. You're dealing with you. But as soon as you're dealing with another person, and I wouldn't even tell you, oh, just leave him. First of all, you have to figure out, why am I letting him push my crazy buttons? Why have I allowed him to take me for granted or discount me so much? Like, you would have to figure out a healthier way of interacting with him so you don't bring it into the next relationship. So when people just leave when they're having these issues, they're just going to have it with the next person. So it's best to figure out how he can, if he doesn't want to change his behaviors and he wants to keep doing what he's doing, it doesn't bother you anymore because you know it's not you. And that's when we're ready to leave a person because we don't want to play those games anymore. And a relationship can be fixed 2 feet in or 2 feet out. We talk about this all the time on the show. You've had 1 foot in, 1 foot out for a while, okay? And you don't know if you want to stay or go. And nothing can be fixed that way. I would advise you for 3 months to put your 2 feet in. Say what you mean what you say. Don't be mean about it, you know. And then at the end of 3 months, nothing changes. Sometimes we need to take 2 feet out. It doesn't mean it's over. Maybe he'll realize he needs therapy or he has to change or listen because he doesn't want you to leave. You know, but, you know, but just saying we're going to leave but don't do it, that doesn't do any good. Do you know what I mean? So really give it your efforts. Give it your trying. You do the best. What month is your birthday, by the way?
October.
That's what I thought. I figured you were probably at least past September because they talk about on the show how 2023 is the year that any relationships not serving our higher good are supposed to come to an end. And technically, your 2023 began with your birthday. So you kind of have between now and October to figure this thing out. So if we're in March, April, May, June, July, 3 months putting 2 feet in. If that doesn't work, it might be 2 feet out, July, August, September, to see what happens October on. Okay, because it's bigger than you, this cosmic thing, you know, locking people in a foxhole for 2.5 years to blow up toxic love because it teaches war. The universe is concerned about that. If you're going to shut the hell up, it's teaching Cold War. So it's almost like you called into this show, my expertise is in soulmates. You're still in the year 2023. You're at the 10-year mark, which is 2 5-year cycles. It's kind of the way the universe is saying you can't do nothing and just stay like this because the root universe will get in here and fix it. And I'm telling you, it hurts a lot more when God fixes it. So you put your 2 feet in, give it your all, and for 3 months, if nothing changes, then it's like, seriously saying, I mean, I don't think I could live like this forever. It's not working for me. It's not doing what I need. But always staying calm. We don't have to hate somebody to leave them. That's one thing we were never taught. Don't make it hateful. Don't make it ugly. Don't name call. You know, it's, you have to separate a person's behaviors from them. I love you. You're a good person, but these actions are not acceptable. You know, separate two. And, you know, give it your all. Again, if you don't, this relationship, and I got the devil card, it's going to get more toxic in the next year or two if you don't start fixing it. You know, you're going to start fighting. You're going to start having behaviors you don't like. Because when love gets toxic, it becomes an addiction. It's not easy to break away from. And then we get into this pattern of I have to hate you to leave you, so you make it ugly. I don't want that to happen with you. I just think, you know, you don't need to have that go that far here because it's not your nature to be that way. You know, so remember, he wants to spend his life with you. That's the card I got. I got the card that he doesn't want to share with you. Now, for someone who wants you to spend his life with him, you know, hopefully that will shake him up and he'll, you know, come to some realization that, you know, did his parents divorce or not divorce?
Yeah, they divorced.
Okay. Now, some people judge their parents and they push people so far to it ends up being, why did mommy leave? Why did daddy leave? Why didn't this work? People always have to relive their parents' marriage, and it's not good news for most people. So, you know, realize that that's part of what he's pushing too hard about, you know, and, you know, call in again and let us know how you're doing putting your 2 feet in and, you know, how you feel about it. And, you know, again, step outside of the fights and see if you can't, you know, realize, you know, there's a pattern and it's not healthy.
Okay. Yeah. You gave me such really great advice tonight. So I'm going to definitely take a lot of that into consideration and try doing see how that goes.
Otherwise you start feeling hopeless and then you get depressed. Hopeless, you know, depression is anger turned inward in a feeling of hopelessness. Once that starts happening, you're too depressed to get out of bed, let alone leave a relationship, and then it keeps you stuck more in it. So we want to, you know, by just giving you 3 months to put 2 feet in, it's not forever. And if that doesn't work, then there's something else you have to do. So you don't feel like, well, I have to put 2 feet in forever. No, let's see what happens for 3 months. And this way, small chunks of time we can deal with without getting depressed.
Right. Okay.
Well, good luck to you,
thank you so much.
Sharing your story with us. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, you see that pattern with people, don't you? How we get in these patterns and then it's like,
Yes, of course. And, one thing that I was going to say, Cindy, too, is that, you know, not aside from just being able to tell somebody that your feelings are hurt, sometimes when people are being hurtful that way or in this particular case, if they're being dismissive, it's genuinely because they don't realize what you're asking for in that particular moment. You know, so it's one thing if you say something and they're like, oh, yeah, that was a stupid thing to say. You know, well, that's hurtful because, you know, you can say that or, you know, you don't have to even acknowledge it, really. You know, you can be nicer about that. But if it's something, you know, that may be asking for, you know, and, you know, the answer is, well, you know, your arm's broken or why can't you get it or something like, you know, something along those lines, you know, where it's hurtful because they won't, you know, they're not paying attention to you in that particular way. Sometimes that's just somebody's way of saying, this is the way that I want to be loved right now. You know,
right.
And it's not necessarily like, oh, hey, be my slave, go out and get me this and get me that. Sometimes it's just your way of saying, you know what, this is the way I want you to love me right now.
And when somebody is being hurtful in response to that, what we're feeling is not necessarily the fact that they're giving us resistance towards what we're asking. It's really because you're asking them to love you in a certain way, and they're not loving you in that way. So then you wind up with this feeling of being unloved, and that's what hurts your feelings. Not, you know, not what's actually happening in the moment. You know, in reality, it's the way that you're perceiving what's happening. And that's something that two people need to work on, not just one. You know, because, you know, sometimes it could just be very, very simple of, hey, listen, when I ask you this, the reason why I'm asking you is A, B, and C. You know, so when you're dismissive of me, that's why it hurts so much. And sometimes just explaining that, you know, because people are sometimes stupid. They're caught up in the moment. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, wow, I had no idea. And it could be just as simple as an explanation. They're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. Sorry. You know, I mean, and even to this day, me and Lisa, you know, we do the same things. You know, we you know, kind of like talk things out and everything else. Like I got frustrated with her the other day, you know, and in my frustration, I got nasty. And, you know, she's like, well, you don't have to get so nasty. And I explained, and then I paused and I said, okay, listen, the reason why I am getting nasty right now is because, and I explained it to her, and she went, I see your point. And I apologize. And I was like, and thank you, and I'm sorry for getting nasty. And she said, no problem. And then we just continued our day, you know, like nothing, you know. It was literally like, the reason why I'm getting angry is this. And she acknowledged my feelings. She said that she had no idea that that's what she was putting out. And she apologized for the way that she behaved. I apologized for my reaction to the way that she behaved. And we had a very nice day after that. You know, so it doesn't even have to be a big fight or a big thing. Sometimes it could just be a couple of sentences that just creates this more of an air of clarity, you know, around what it is that you're upset about.
Exactly. And again, just saying you're sorry, you don't have to make a whole big deal about it. People sometimes have a little moment when they lose it. You know, just put it behind you and don't drag it out the whole day.
No, yeah.
And ruin the time off that people have. You know what I mean? You just ruin. Like, that's terrible. So that was very mature of you, Nicole. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. Okay. 15 years of doing this radio show. I'm glad you put something into practice there.
Yeah. And you know, it's you also have to know when to pick and choose your battles too. Cause I mean, sometimes when you're in a relationship so long, you know, like you can get nitpicky,
Exactly.
You know, if you really, really can, like, you know, I mean, especially when you spend like a lot of time together, you can be very, very nitpicky. And I'm not saying that that's what Kayla was going through at all, but I'm just saying in general, people that are together, you know, for long periods of time, you know, there can be a pettiness that comes out, you know, because you just know each other so well. Like today, like I love my wife, and you know, I love my wife. I wanted to strangle her. And the reason why I wanted to strangle her was because she was having a conversation with me while in the car on her way home. And I could hear her chew her peppers while she was talking to me. And I kept telling her, chew with your mouth closed. She was like, I can't talk to you and chew with my mouth closed. And I said, well, she goes, I'm in the car by myself. It shouldn't matter. I'm like, but I can hear you chewing. I'm like, I have to get off the phone now.
Do you not like the sound of chewing, by the way?
Oh, my God, I hate it.
I can't.
It,
you know, it's a form of OCD. You know that.
Oh, my
and,
God, it makes
and
me
some
feel
people
so
watch
nauseous.
Videos. You know, they watch YouTube all day of watching people chew. You and I would have to kill ourselves. Like, I can't stand chewing.
You know what? And there's actually, me and Lisa are big fans of the movie A Clockwork Orange. And there's a scene in that movie, and for anybody that's ever seen this movie, there's a scene in that movie where Roddy McDowall is being fed something and he's chewing, but the way that he's chewing his food, it's like he's chewing his face. And like, and then he's like, just holds his mouth open, waiting for like the next bite. And then he continues to chew that way. And like, that's out of everything in the movie, A Clockwork Orange, that's the scene that I have the most trouble watching is him chew.
Right. Exactly. No, and it
so
used to
much.
Drive me crazy when my brother used to chew. And you know, sometimes when TJ's doing it, and I know, and I try to tell myself they're not doing anything wrong, but it's in the form of OCD. It's a form of OCD.
Oh my
and,
God.
You know, and I try to like make myself calm down about it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I mean, and she acknowledges. She was like, well, I'm in the car by myself. It shouldn't matter. I'm like, I can hear that it's happening. Like, while she was talking, my teeth started to hurt just by listening to her. I was like, I got to get off the phone. I'm like, I'll see you when you get home. I love you. Bye.
No, but see, but you see, we have that in common. And it's really the person that's doing anything. But could you imagine that some people love to watch the YouTube videos where people are chewing. I would just have to like, I just have to shoot myself in the head. It would be like,
even the thought of that, even the thought of it is gross, is grossing me out right now.
Now, see, isn't that funny? But other people wouldn't understand like what we're talking about, really. You know, I mean, I wonder if any of our other listeners out there have this, but.
Yeah, we'll take a poll. We'll take a poll on your regular
take a poll. And again, I've gotten a little better at it because I just kind of tell myself it's not rational. It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? So I've gotten like a little better. And it's not something in a group. If you're in a restaurant and everybody's chewing, you can't hear it. You know what I mean? It's different. You know what I mean? It's just.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things that little quirky stuff. You know, I know we're almost at the end of our show, and I don't want to take another caller because I'm just afraid we're going to, you know, just go over. And you know they've been, like, knocking us off lately when that happens.
Oh, my God. So, left and right.
So, anyway, since I just have you to myself, you know, I just picked up some cards for you. Nicole, we want to manifest more money in this upcoming 2024, correct?
Yes. Yes.
I've gotten some good money cards on you.
A successful business and definitely some more money and some more, consistency is the best way to put it.
And also, let's put it this way. You're working long hours, and the thing about it is when people work long hours and they're tired, that's when we can get bitchy. So I think if you know your mate or the person you're with is working very hard, go a little easy on them if they're a little bitchy or edgy. You know, you don't have to make a fight. You know, just cut them some slack that they're irritable. You know, when you're tired, you get irritable, don't you? And
you know
when you don't.
Oh, 100%. But me and Lisa are very, very good about that. And you know what? I advise everybody to do this. Like, Lisa will just walk into a room, like she'll say something, and I'll reply. And then she'll like, you know, she'll have, like, a little toot. And then I'll go, excuse me. She'll be like, I can't talk to you right now because I'm really cranky. So I'm going to go inside. I just, okay. I'll see you in a few. And then she does. She gets up. She goes inside. And that's it. She, you know, and I was like, or sometimes I'll be like, there is no consoling you right now. And she'll just be like, I am very cranky. And I say the same thing, too. So don't be afraid to tell somebody that you're cranky. Don't let them find out the hard way. Just say, listen, I am really cranky right now. And I apologize in advance.
Right. And just cut me a little slack here because,
exactly.
You know, it's and even let's extend it a little further than personal. You know, if you're dealing with someone, a waitress or a salesperson, they're a little snippy with you, you know, they may have had a long and hard day, okay? So, like, try to even be a little kinder in that instance, even though they should be behaving better, you know, because, you know, sometimes people are just tired and irritable, you know, and human beings can get very irritable. You know, we always knew with the kids, we knew they're tired and hungry, they're cranky. Didn't we always let babies and little kids be cranky? You know, they're tired, they're hungry, they were cranky, you know, so... You know, it still goes for grown-ups. They can get cranky, okay, for sure.
I know. I can get very cranky.
Right. So we're going to work on a little more sleep for you. And, you know, I'm so glad, you know, we had some interesting callers today, and especially I like the one from Pennsylvania because I think, you know, breaking patterns of, like, behavior, like we get in this spiral downhill. Do you know what I mean? And you just have to – break the behaviors, otherwise it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, you know, and it can get ugly, and once it gets toxic, remember, that becomes addictive, then you got to get hooked on this person for another year. Not good.
Yep. Nope.
So we are at the end of our show. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody, and thanks for joining us. We'll all speak next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.